K-Mud Podcast presents.
All right, so I'm Wild Ginger. This is Wildcraft. It is another beautiful day, the last day of Women's History Month. And so we have the honor to speak with a wonderful woman today who I adore you. I just so you know, I think you're amazing. This is Casey Hallahan of the BLM office, King's Range. How you doing, Ranger?
Hi, Ginger. I'm doing just beautifully. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah. I have you cranked to the max. If there's a way to make yourself even louder, see if you can.
I can bellow.
That's better. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bellow.
Great. I love it. Okay. Use your outside voice.
Yes.
Love it. So thank you for agreeing to join me on the air today. I was considering what it really means to live where we live and appreciate the land we live with and the animals and plants that we are here with. And I thought you would be the perfect, most magical woman to sum up Women's History Month as a woman who enjoys the woods. So thanks for joining us. And I'd love to start by asking you, how did you end up here? What led you to become a ranger? And were you playing in the mud and finding worms when you were a kid?
Oh, I was not playing in the mud. I was flipping rocks and looking for roly-polies. That was my preference.
Heck yeah.
I really didn't get into backpacking and hiking much until I moved up to Humboldt County, actually. Seeing the beauty here changed my entire trajectory.
That happened to me too. Same story.
How could it not?
You fall in love with the
land. I was one of those. I'm so sorry.
No, you rock. Go ahead.
I was one of those people who knew I wanted to go to college, but had no idea what I wanted to study. Went to a bunch of different campuses, changed my major like 100 times. And after a year of forestry classes at College of the Redwoods, I went to my guidance counselor and said, you know, I really like working outside, but I don't know if this in particular is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And he said, well, what about recreation? And I said, what about recreation? You mean like sports and playgrounds? And so that's when I transferred to Humboldt State and I majored in recreation administration with an emphasis in outdoor adventure leadership.
Oh my gosh.
So I went from nothing, never having backpacked, I was doing all my classes at CR wearing Vans. And it was always a joke. My professor would be like, oh, Casey, you made it up here after our long hike. Like, I'm glad you're still here in those Vans. So I finally had to buy a pair of hiking boots.
Nice.
went from never having backpacked, no idea what backpacking was, to learning how to lead groups outdoors. And that's where I found like my self-efficacy and my confidence as an individual really blossomed. And so after graduating in 2020, COVID year, you know, I missed a lot of my opportunity to develop those skills I had been learning for so long. So in 2021, I got to do an internship here in the Whitethorn office. I was called a wilderness ranger intern. I got paid $30 a day.
Hey,
and
whoa.
I hiked the Lost Coast Trail. And it was awesome. And I fell in love with it. And I knew I wanted to be back as a park ranger. And so 2022, I got my permanent position here at the King Range. And I think I'll be here until I die. I think this
yes.
is where I'm happiest, for sure.
Awesome. That's awesome. Oh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. So I have so many questions for you, but this one just popped in my head while you were speaking. And I just feel like it might be relevant to more than just me. So I'm going to ask right now before I forget. What's the best
Please.
Hiking shoe? Which shoe is the best shoe?
Oh, man. So I was taught, you know, high ankle, you want ankle support. I have fallen off of that train. I am more into trail runners personally. I really like ultras because they have a wide toe box.
I'm all about and the toe box,
I got,
for sure.
I need my dogs to spread out.
Yes.
And on the Lost Coast, when you're hiking through creeks every 2 miles, it's a pain to take your boots off and you get covered in poison oak. So I'm a big fan of trail runners when I'm on the coast.
Okay.
It's so nice.
Interesting. Okay. So I lived for years I was a fish counter, and that's how I came to Humboldt County. And I lived way up in the mountains, and I lived in my Chacos for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, one summer, I was like, these are really hard. Like, the base of them is really hard. I don't know. All of a sudden, I don't know if I'm getting older or what, but now I like my closed toe hiking boots, waterproof, above the ankle. I need the ankle support. Anyway, I just had to
respect.
Go there. Yeah. It's all about the footwear. I think I changed shoes like 3 times while gardening yesterday. Just like, no, this doesn't feel right. I need a different, no, now I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm mud your in the very important.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're not getting any dirt between your toes, you're not living. So I was like, get the sandals on. We got to get some dirty feet here. Anyway.
There you go.
Back to the topic at hand. I do apologize. Two women who love the land plant talking about mud. So on an average day working for the BLM as a ranger, do you spend a lot of times hiking trails to this day? Is that part of your daily life?
Absolutely. So I am doing a 3 to 4 day backpacking trip 3 to 4 times a month.
Wow.
I have been fortunate enough to be promoted over the last few years, so I don't get out as much as I used to. My first year as a ranger, I hiked the Lost Coast Trail 5 times in April.
Wow.
And this year it's only going to be 2 times, and I'm devastated. But we have over 85 miles of wilderness trails in the King Range. Wow. So if I'm not on the Lost Coast, I get to be up in the uplands. And it's a whole different playing field, a whole different beast. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, are you hiking those trails to like just check up on folks who are out on the trail? Are you hiking those trails to like look for trouble? Are you there to support people? Are you there to tell me more about some other studies you do while you're there? But why do they send you out so much? What are you doing out there?
Sure. So when I'm on the Lost Coast Trail, my primary objective is providing public health and safety information to the public. I talk to over 150 people a day sometimes.
Wow.
And I love my conversations with people on trail. I always start out, howdy hikers. My name's Casey. I'm a park ranger. And I go and knuckle bump everybody and get everyone's first names. I love to hear about like their experience on trail so far, where they've been camping, what their plans are. And then making sure they have a correct understanding of the tides, because on the Lost Coast Trail, you need to navigate low tides in order to hike certain sections.
Yeah, that's super important.
And then absolutely. You would not believe how many people are just out there winging it.
Questions. You don't come to the edge of the world with no plan. That's a bad idea. Thanks for being there for all those folks who don't know what the heck they're doing. That's what scares me about the word recreate, because it sounds like fun, but it's serious. It's serious if you're hiking the Lost Coast.
It is. So that's one of the characteristics of wilderness that I really value, is like challenge and opportunities for unrestricted recreation. And so people might be expecting different experiences when they come out to the King Range and they see there's not a sign at each creek. How do I know where I'm at? And it really does take a lot more planning ahead and preparing. We get people who've never seen the Pacific Ocean before.
Wow.
Coming from other countries and have no idea what low tide and high tide even means. And so to try to interpret that information in a way that sounds digestible and accessible, and you can do this, you know, it's hard sometimes, but
well, and it's important to know
very
that
rewarding.
You can't use your phone to find where you are in a lot of places out here too, because there's no service. So you have to pre-download all the maps for the area, or just like use a paper map like the olden days, right?
There you go. Yep, there you go. Map and compass skills, use them or lose them.
Yes.
But luckily we have really great staff here at the visitor center too.
Oh,
so
you totally
anytime
do.
Someone
Amazing.
Calls us,
yeah.
I've spent more than an hour plus walking an individual through every single step of their trip. If someone has a question for me, I never want it to go unanswered. If people have, you know, the autonomy and the confidence to like call and ask for questions, I want them to walk away with an amazing experience. I got more information than I could have ever imagined or knew that I needed. and I'm ready to hit the trail.
So one of the important things about being on the trail out here, besides having maps and knowing where you're going ahead of time and knowing the tides, is that you have to have bear box, right?
Yes.
So
yeah. So
how often
we require...
do people have bear problems? Okay, sorry, I'll let you speak, but you got to tell me.
Like, no.
Tell me, is this fear or is it real?
Lucky. So before we required the hard-sided bear canisters, we did have a lot of issues with bears breaking into people's tents and things like that. In a lot of other places, you could do a bear hang, like hanging your food a certain height off of a tree.
Right.
But on the coast, that is not a good option. We have slim pickings.
And they're usually small trees. Not enough trees on the beach.
Nope. So a hard-sided bear canister is basic. It's foolproof.
Yeah.
You know, you close the top, make sure it's clicked, and then keep it, you know, away from your tent. I like to keep it close enough that I can hear if something's messing with it. But we have really no issues with bears breaking into people's tents or going after people's food. It's been a really, like, great program that almost all people totally abide by. And we do have bear canisters available for rent at our visitor center for only $5 for your whole trip. Awesome. So we try to make it as easy and accessible as possible. You know, you're helping yourself and your fellow hikers, but we're helping the wildlife.
Totally. And the bears that live here aren't like real scary bears. Like when I went to visit Montana, they were selling bear spray everywhere. Like, watch out for bears. They're super scary. Cause those were grizzlies maybe, or like big black bears. We just have sweet brown bears who just want your lunch. They're not going to come after you really. So
we
like,
do.
We don't really need people to have bear spray, right?
So if someone wants to bring bear spray, that's totally, I support your decision to do that. Personally, I don't feel the need to carry bear spray when I'm on trail. And it's interesting enough, actually, in Redwood National Park, it's illegal to carry bear spray.
Oh, interesting.
And so that's just, you know, a sign that like these bears really are not coming for us. They want your food, maybe. But as long
really
as you're
attack.
Making noise...
So, like, if you were on trail, is it more likely you'd be worried that you came across a coyote? Or, I mean, I've definitely heard mountain lion sightings in Shelter Cove before. How often do people talk about that?
The majority of our mountain lion sightings are not shared with us officially. I have to, you know, find them online and things like that.
Funny.
But it's almost always people who are choosing to hike at night.
Oh.
Or early morning. So that's the wildlife's hours. I like to let them have their time, crepuscular hours.
Okay.
And that's also when people tend to see more bears, like early morning before sunrise. Luckily enough, this is my sixth summer working on the Lost Coast, and I have never had a bear interaction or a mountain lion interaction. And coyotes, you know, they'll wake you up yipping, but luckily I think we're free and clear of any coyote problems.
Right on.
As well.
That's awesome. So I love that advice. Like, let the animals have their time. Yeah. I even pull my dogs in at night for that reason. I'm like, you know, I'm sharing this land with the wildlife, and the wildlife was here first. So let's give them their space to do their job. We're lucky to get to visit.
Absolutely.
Or hang out. It's not our place to tell them they can't come here. That's why the bear cans are important too, because the bears still get to go to the ocean whether or not you're there, right? So,
absolutely,
that's wonderful.
Absolutely,
that you
almost
that.
Always see bear prints on the beach, and it just blows people's minds that bears actually come down to the beach. We're like, yeah, that's what I told you. You gotta trust me.
Yeah, they like to see the sunset too over the ocean.
They do, and eat fresh washed up calamari from the last high tide.
Heck,
it's a smorgasbord.
Okay, so now
there.
We're talking about mammals that are hanging out by the ocean. Is this our chance? Do you want to tell me about the other cool thing you get to do?
Oh, man. So one of the cooler things that I get to talk to people about and help monitor is our local elephant seal colony up at the Punta Gorda Lighthouse. So Punta Gorda Lighthouse is like 3 miles south of the Matola Trailhead up by Petrolia. If you have not been there, you absolutely should go check it out just as a day hike. You can call the BLM office for any more information planning that hike. But the lighthouse is like a sanctuary to California's newest and northernmost breeding colony of elephant seals.
Northernmost or southernmost? I thought it was southernmost.
Northernmost breeding colony.
Oh,
so
backwards.
I know they're called northern elephant seals.
Okay. So
but,
confusing. Okay.
So there are a couple of other colonies north of Punta Gorda along the Oregon coast, but they're not breeding.
Oh.
So ours is the northernmost breeding colony.
I see what you're saying.
Yes. And they've only been at this location since 2015.
Wow. That's crazy.
And so we're really working to integrate, you know, giving the elephant seals their space and also accommodating hikers.
They don't like to get off the path, and you have to definitely go around them because they're not moving.
Absolutely. Yeah. Male elephant seals can weigh over 2 tons. And when they're feeling motivated, they can move way faster on sand than we can. So general rule of thumb is 150 feet of space, or really as much as you can, given the terrain. But the growing population is proving a little challenging. So last year we had 282 pups born at our colony.
That's cool.
282 pups. This year we've had 383 pups born.
Oh my gosh.
So it's growing exponentially. And about this time of year is when the females are leaving their pups that we call weanlings or weaners. Okay. And the females are starting their migration back towards all the way up to Alaska sometimes, hunting and getting fat to come back for breeding season in the fall.
Wow, they're like out of there. The kids are on their own.
Exactly. So they form these big cuddle puddles, little elephant seal support groups.
Yeah.
Because they're still fattening up a little bit before they can go into the cold water. Otherwise that cold ocean water can wreak havoc on their little baby bodies. So it's really important that we don't accidentally scare them back into the ocean before they're ready.
Yeah. So if they're making a bunch of noise, you're probably too close. That's what I like to assume, is like if they're talking to you and they weren't making noise and then you approached and they're getting all antsy, back up, because they're saying, please, you're too close to me.
Yeah. If they change their behavior because of you, that's a sign that you're too close.
Cool.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned them coming right up on the trail, and they definitely do that. There will be times when there are 50 seals on the marine terrace, like up off the beach, right below the lighthouse. And it's our job when that happens to, you know, divert, to maybe not stay on the trail, even though that's, you know, the rule of thumb is stay on the trail.
Usually, yeah.
But if if it's covered in elephant seals, perhaps the better option would be to go off trail just to give them as much space as possible.
So on this, go ahead.
Sorry, we're working on rerouting that section of trail.
Oh, cool.
So we're doing all the government red tape NEPA analysis right now. And then in fall, we're hoping to break ground and actually move that section of trail in order to give the elephant seals a little bit more space.
Awesome. That's smart. So I was thinking while we were talking that we have elephant seals on the northern end of the Lost Coast Trail. And at the very southern end of the Lost Coast Trail, we also have wild elk that can also be in the trail. Do you want to talk a little bit about the elk?
Sure. So I don't know if you know, Ginger, you might know this. The elk were actually locally reintroduced.
Yeah.
And I think it was 1989. Yeah.
I wish they would still hang out there, but they don't.
Right. I don't live in Whitethorn proper, so I haven't actually gotten to see them in my backyard. Only when I go down to Needle Rock.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen them either. But I have heard them come around on the Whitethorn side, which is really cool. And they're so huge and majestic. And I used to live up off the Klamath, and we had elk there too. And they were not reintroduced. They've always been there. And they're super like, oh, you're a human, whatever. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. But the elk here at Sinkione are much more, hey, what are you doing in my land? Like aggressive, in my opinion. And they kind of creep me out a little bit. I've heard some terrible stories about people with small dogs. And so like no dogs on the Lost Coast Trail, right? Is that a rule?
Yeah. So no dogs in the state park boundary, which is where the elk are more prevalent. I have also been stuck on trail for like 45 minutes just waiting for elk to leave.
Yes, because there's no way around. Like there's a cliff and there's an ocean down there to fall into. And there's also this sheer rock on the other side. You just can't go anywhere else. We definitely like Helbig sticks up to make it look like we had antlers to be like, ooh, we're scary too. You should move. And like, they just kind of like, you know, fart in your general direction and don't really care about you.
I'm afraid when I see elk, I just assume, okay, I'm stuck here. Yeah. And I have a phrase like, the Sinkyon will let you go when it's ready to let you go.
Oh,
and
I like it.
I get stuck by elk almost every time I go out there. So that's something to keep in mind. And this time of year too is almost calving season. So all the female cows are about to give birth and then things get a lot more touchy. So just keep that in mind if you're headed to the Sinkyon Wilderness State Park anytime soon.
So if you're going to the Sinkyon, is it smart to make a lot of noise while you're hiking? Maybe just to like make sure the animals know you're coming, or is it better to just like be quiet and listening for the elk, or like, what do you think?
I would say it depends. I've been intentionally making noise with large groups of people before, and that has not deterred elk from standing in the way and just staring me down.
No, totally.
So
they have no fear.
Exactly. They have no natural predators, other than, you know, mountain lions. So yeah, they're not too afraid of us. I would say personally, I'm pretty risk averse. And I enjoy the opportunity to have wildlife interactions like that.
Totally.
So I would just go in with the mindset that like my plans might change because an elk might decide otherwise. And I like to be quiet and listen.
Smart.
More often than not.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. You don't want to miss anything. You might hear some good stuff. We've been hearing a lot of woodpeckers lately at our house and flickers.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
I so love less.
Sounds of the woods. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I recently learned that elk return to the sea, and that's what whales are. Did you know that? Isn't that insane?
I did not know that. I'm going to jot that down for further research.
Yeah, please.
What the heck?
It was Dr. Gooley from Cal Poly that told me that, so I swear it's true.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
she
so
showed
cool.
us, like, when you look at their bone structure, how you can see how they have very similar bones. Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
So it's really that's interesting so that cool. The elk like to hang out by the ocean like that. That's what I was like, interesting. Are they considering leaving? Are they like, this is getting lame over here?
It looks really nice in there.
Yeah. But boy, I can imagine that the Sinkyon doesn't get a whole ton of visitors, but then you go up to Petrolia and that end doesn't get a, I mean, how many people, where's the farthest away you've met someone from that came to visit us?
Other countries. Yeah. Other countries, Australia, and Europe for sure.
Yeah. I've definitely met someone from Germany that just like during COVID saw a thing on Facebook that someone else had done the Lost Coast Trail and they're like, I'm doing it. And they just came here on a whim.
Yep.
Amazing.
Pretty epic. I can understand the draw. We're very, very lucky to have something this spectacular right here in our backyards.
Pretty amazing world we live in. So if there was advice for folks who might be interested in following a career path similar to yours, what is the best advice for someone young looking towards becoming a ranger?
Volunteer.
Yeah.
Get out at whatever capacity you have and volunteer. Friends of the Lost Coast does monthly trail stewards events. They also do other events in Shelter Cove. And then we have a ladder program. So from trail stewards, the next step would be NICS interns, which is geared towards high school age youth, like 15 to 19. And there we develop skills like trail building and trail maintenance, but really it's like leadership development and like group management, risk management. It's a lot of transferable skills. And then, yeah, just staying engaged and exploring your own backyard.
Yes.
More experiences in the outdoors and showing your face to the hiring managers and showing that you care, because I'm a volunteer. I grew up here. You know, I am invested in this.
Yes.
We hire a lot of locals, luckily, in this office.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. And I did hear this is like in a similar vein that the dives for the Mattole are open now too. Have you ever gotten that experience to work with the MRC and MSG over there on dives for the salmon?
Yeah, I got to do the summer steelhead dive on the Mattole last summer, and
awesome.
It was spectacular. There were volunteers as young as 14 from Petrolia. And then this year they're doing it on Juneteenth.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm not sure if they've opened registration for that yet. But if you're interested and available, I think there's a Thursday training if you've never done it before. And then the whole dive takes place on the 19th and 20th
cool.
of June. You can reach out to Mutual Salmon Group for more information on that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad you knew the deets already. That's awesome. So just because we're on the salmon subject, I want to say that this week's Monday Morning Magazine was really inspirational, and they were talking a lot about they were talking with Taz Soto from the Karuk tribe about the dam removal on the Klamath, because we're hoping to remove the dams on the eel, on dam at all. There was a really interesting note he had about how many, there were like over 300 miles north of the ocean, there were salmon coming up. I mean, so much farther than they ever knew, 100 miles past the dam. They were amazed. So I heard you might have a few details for us too, and I have to go soon, unfortunately, but I thought maybe if you had a little data that you wanted to share about those elephant seals. Oh. I knew you came with numbers, you said.
Oh, I already dropped my data for the elephant seals.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had collected numbers on how many coho we saw last year on the steelhead dive. But it was an incredible rebound, and just seeing the success they've had on the Klamath is so inspiring.
So amazing.
And just encourages us to keep doing that work in other watersheds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm also really encouraged by, the overpass they're making over the I-5 now down by LA to like for mountain lions, because there was like so there's just so many ways that kids that are looking towards working with the environment can affect the world in a positive way, and make positive changes that keep enhancing the nature around us so that we can live with the land. And I love that you live with the land, and that you explain to people who come to visit how they can live with the land while they're here in a respectful way. I'm so honored to get to have you on the air today and to be a neighbor with the BLM and be a part of Friends of the Lost Coast and all of the magical things your whole organization does to support the community and the animals that were here first. So thank you.
Absolutely, Ginger. Thank you.
Yeah, I wish we could talk so much more. I have so many more questions, but it is 3 o'clock, so unfortunately I have to let you go. And thank you for doing this last minute. And don't be a stranger. K-Mud's so proud to work with the BLM anytime if you ever want to come hang out with us. Awesome. Oh, Casey, thank you again. This has been Casey Hallahan from the BLM Kings Range. Really honored to have you on the air. Thanks again. And if people want to come hike the Lost Coast Trail this summer, they'll come in and talk to you in the office or give you a holler. Is there any links you want to send people towards or any ways to follow you online that you want to support?
Me personally?
No, for your career, you know.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just
Friends of Lost Coast, Sanctuary Forest, you know, our partners, our King Range Alliance partners.
Awesome. Well, here's to hoping that your organization gets triple the funding from here on out, and that we support our lands even better in the future. Thank you for all you're doing over there.
Of course. Thank you, Ginger.
Yeah, such an honor. Thanks again. Have a great day and happy Women's History Month for the very last day.
This has been a K-Mud podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.